We have Commissioner Kent Weems. He's the chairman of the board, and Chris Bruns, the vice chairman, or chief and vice chief, because Chris came in after Kent arrived and said, "Good morning, chief." So I guess that makes him the chief.
Well, I'm a member of the Hakawik tribe.
Okay.
You've heard of those folks. They were on F Troop.
I guess I haven't. Now I guess I'm not.
They got up on a big hill down here by Sioux Lookout and looked over the valley and said, "Where the heck are we?"
Okay.
You never heard that. Okay, that's my corny joke for the day.
All right. Corny joke aside.
Sorry.
Let's talk about the meeting yesterday and go through here, and then we're going to bring up a subject that is near and dear to especially Commissioner Bruns, which we centered on last week, and we'll delve into that. But first, let's talk about the other business that you dealt with. Beginning with some happy news, anytime you get to recognize employees that have served the county for a length of time, that's always a fun thing to do. And
it
you
really
had a
is.
25-year recognition yesterday.
Yes, we had two. Merritt Newman of the Sheriff's Department. Merritt's been a steadfast member of that crew, and well-deserved to be recognized, and I wish we could give them more than a certificate and a county coin, because they earn more than that.
They get a coin, huh?
They get a coin. We get them the commemorative coin that we had for our 100-year celebration, so each time we have employees come in and recognize them and thank them for their service to the citizens, we provide that certificate for them for their wall and also this coin. So something to, just a little token, mm-hmm. a little thanks. And
what's on the coin?
Well, it's got a picture of Abe Lincoln, our namesake for Lincoln County, and our county logo. If you look at any of the county documents, you'll see that Honest Abe is on the top of those, and that's what's on the coin.
Good.
And in addition, certainly want to mention Brian Anderson in the corrections side. Brian's with us 5 years, and you might say, well, that's quite a disparity in service, but if you've ever been in that jail and see see what those folks have to deal with.
5 years can feel like 25.
Five could definitely feel like 25. So we appreciate Brian Anderson as well. So those two gentlemen were kind enough to take a few minutes out of their day to come over and see us. So.
Yeah, I mean, in this day and age, even staying in a job, especially a difficult job like that, 5 years is worthy of recognition and just knowing that, hey, people, we have your back, we appreciate
absolutely.
What you do.
Absolutely, and there's so many nuances to that job, and they have to learn such good people skills with inmates that are going through a tough time, and folks kind of forget that sometimes, but there's a way to handle those folks and a way not to, and a lot of those people they get trained, but some things you just can't teach. And from what I'm told, Brian has that knack to convey messages to those inmates and get them to comply and assist them. You know, a kind word goes a long way. Mm-hmm. And our jail staff, the sheriff, makes sure that jail staff is cognizant of that. Mm-hmm. So
that's good.
Means a lot to those folks.
Trudy Merritt came in, gave you an update on the Lincoln County Wellness Program.
She did. We launched that last February, actually, mm-hmm. technically. But in a nutshell, you always get New Year's, as Trudy says, New Year's resolutions, and then they die by the curb, but usually by about the 25th of January.
Yeah, we're familiar with that.
And so we had a pretty vigorous sign-up of 67 or 8. And then she currently has 25 that are still hanging in there and doing various things. And primarily weight loss is, you know, the number one goal. And mm-hmm. recognizing with the blood profile to start with, everyone gets a blood test and look at your cholesterol, look at your blood pressure, all those good things, and work from there and set some goals. And, you know, if you find one person that has high blood pressure and other underlying issues that they didn't know about, and you've remedied those, it's well worth the time and money. But we are cognizant of money, as we always speak. That program costs us about $175 a person, So we like people to stick with it if they will. And we're probably going to reevaluate how we shape that up this year. We're going to do something as far as wellness, but we're going to start out kind of rejuvenating our wellness first, because under our Blue Cross umbrella, we can get those folks to a wellness profile without any out-of-pocket for them, as this was. But nevertheless, we're cognizant of the cost, so we're going to try to run it through wellness first and then coordinate with West Central Health to then further pursue this this weight loss program. And
so the people that get involved, sign up for this wellness program, there's no out-of-pocket expense?
No, there isn't. And that's your first screening. And, okay. And you know, typically insurance carriers, they'll pick up the tab for that because they'd rather fix your cholesterol problem or your high blood pressure problem now than pay for an open heart surgery or stents or whatever.
True.
So they're cost conscious too. So that's why they encourage us to do that for our employee group. So mm-hmm. So we're gonna pursue that again for 2026, and how that looks exactly we don't know, but we're not gonna drop the ball on that. We're gonna continue on with that.
And, mm-hmm. And there's something also that needs to be pointed out. I mean, we implemented this program for a very specific reason, at least from my perspective. We on the board, not only taking care of our employees, which is important, but really from a fiscal aspect. Mm-hmm. Data absolutely bears out that when an organization has a program like this and they have participation in the program, the long-term benefits from a health insurance standpoint, which is one of our largest line items in our budget,
yeah, no doubt,
those costs come down, and they come down significantly over time. And so that's the aim for what we're trying to do. We're trying to reduce that expense for the taxpayers long term. And so mm-hmm. I'm interested to see, as I know Kent and the rest of our colleagues on the board are, how this is going to benefit in the years to come. Mm-hmm. Moving forward.
So. Yeah, I've got Trudy scheduled in tomorrow. I always have her on the last Wednesday of the month, and so I'll have her delve into that and offer a few more details on what people that get involved in the program,
right off the top of her head, she can give you all those details, and, mm-hmm. and Trudy's very good at coordinating this program. And
Passionate, extremely passionate.
That's the word that always pops into my head every time I get a chance to talk to her.
Yeah. Trudy's amazing.
She is.
She's a very good asset to West Central Health.
Yep. On down to the next item, you discussed and considered setting a date for the 1 and 6 year road plan.
Yeah.
Any comments from people about that? Do they pretty much trust
there's not a lot.
The roads department to prioritize what they need to do?
We have some kind of steadfast and long time folks in the community that pay attention to that, and mm-hmm. Mr. Seacrest comes in each year and speaks to where he thinks we need to be, typically in our A list, so to speak, in our 1 year, and how it coordinates with the Department of Roads in Lincoln, and how we interact here with all of our major thoroughfares going through. And he always has a good perspective. We always appreciate his input. But the public in general, once in a great while, we'll have somebody that has a particular concern or need, and one that I hearken back to is since I've been on the board is Eugene Avenue, and we have one or two folks that live out there that bang the drum loudly that we need to put that on a priority list. And it's a matter of want versus need again. The traffic doesn't necessarily justify what in a perfect world we'd do with that particular road, and it's a shared property with the city. We run out there maybe a half mile and from the West Buffalo Bill intersection, and then it becomes city street. So nobody really wants to tackle that right now. We've got higher priority projects, Corey. So it'll get discussed, I'm sure, when we have our hearing. But
is it in the six-year plan?
It is typically in the six. Mm-hmm. With the expansion of the city's boundaries, I think it's inevitable that they will have, you know, will continue to move that way laterally. And I guess personally, it's my hope that once that is done, then they can put it under their umbrella with a comprehensive plan to fix it the right way, because it was never really laid out properly. The right of way, you know, is kind of a zigzag in there, and mm-hmm. it's not the true 66 feet, and there was no plan for drainage. There's just so many problems with the way that was. It wasn't thought out. It was just simply, they just put a blade down and said, here's where we're going to ingress mm-hmm. and egress on mm-hmm. these properties. So it needs a lot of attention, but it's a small piece of the big puzzle
in
the county's needs and demands. And what primarily commands our limited budget is, you know, our major arteries that bring people in and out, and commerce, cattle and corn, and professional folks into town. And so, you know, we'll be talking about things like, you know, State Farm and North Brady and mm-hmm. Garfield and West River Road,
North Hershey.
Hershey, you know, those bring a lot of people to town. They bring a lot of commodities to town. So those are where our monies go. They have to. They just get so much traffic.
Yeah.
And our highway superintendent and the staff over there in the roads department and the committee that works on that, they have their work cut out for them. I mean, we have over 1,600 miles of roads. Dozens of bridges throughout the county, and they have to work to triage it because our dollars only go so far.
That's amazing. Most people, if you asked how many miles of roads in the county, they would not come close to 1,600.
1,647 miles.
That's amazing. Wow. That's a lot to take care of.
Yes, it is. It is, and it's hard to put those priorities there, and you know, something always crops up, typically the old saying, you know, life's what happens when you're busy making other plans. Well, that applies to the 1-6 road plan as well. You know, we make a plan, and then Mother Nature decides to take this culvert out or this destroy this road. Or
and it automatically goes to the flooding. Top of the queues. Yeah. Is what you have to
so out goes care of, out goes an A-lister, and this one makes the top of the list. So that typically happens. But for the most part, as Chris says, Jason, our superintendent, has done a good job of recognizing the primary needs, and they have they spend a lot of time focused on traffic patterns and wear and tear and what works in the past. That's another part of the 1-6 that we probably don't talk enough about, is the evaluation of what we've done in the past and critiquing that. Those gentlemen have a good grasp of that. They'll come in and they are proactive. They'll say, well, you know, I know we're building overlay or bidding overlay, but we think we should mill and overlay, and here's why. Mm-hmm. And so I think we've gotten better at those projects than we maybe were 10 years ago, because we were saving, you know, maybe a couple $100,000, but we were now with milling and overlay in a combination, we're getting a better wear and tear on that.
Costs more initially,
top treatment,
but it's going to last longer.
It lasts longer. It's more durable. It's got better cohesiveness, so you don't break off the shoulders as quickly. A lot of little things that most folks don't think about. So that comes into play as far as evaluating what becomes a number one priority as well as how we do it. So,
and then the commissioners have to approve the project each year. Is that the way it works?
Yes, we do, because we have, as Chris says, we only have so many dollars. So we pigeonhole a couple $1 million to do major projects, overlays, and other, you know, mitigating efforts to maybe bring in some better material on some of our gravel roads that are high traffic. One comes to mind, which was cattle growers a few years back, and we spent a fair amount of coin on that, but we've got a road now that we don't have to babysit anymore. And so that's the other goal, is to, when you do fix a road, mitigate it for its wear and tear, you want to make sure that you're getting a better life out of it as well, you know, not just the top or the hard surface roads, but gravel as well. So that comes into play. But yeah, we'll
So what's the time schedule on getting this this year's 1 and 6 year road plan approved?
Well, we herded that around like a bunch of cats yesterday. We set a time, I think it was in March 2nd, and then we decided, wait a minute, we've got to do our comp plan in here somewhere. And those, you know, the 1 and 6 takes a little bit of time, and we want to give it, you know, the time it deserves for the public to speak. So we go on from, you know, each year we typically sort those out. We don't have them on the same day because there's just simply too much to go over, and we want to give the public a time to speak, those who want to. So trying to figure out two different Mondays that we can have both of these public hearings and fit everyone's schedule and, you know, the room issue became, we had a conversation about, well, we always try to accommodate the public, make sure we've got a big enough venue for the folks that might want to attend. So we adopted a date for the 1 and 6, and then in subsequent conversation we decided, well, maybe we should focus on when and where we're going to have our comp plan, our comprehensive plan hearing. We know that typically draws more folks, has in the past. And we've got a lot of big issues on there with renewable energy regs that'll be in that comp plan. So we kind of backed off of the 1 and 6 and rescinded the motion to put it on the 2nd of March. And I think we settled on February 23rd for the 1 and 6. And and the jury's out when we're going to do our comprehensive plan hearing, because we're trying to make sure we can get a room in the courthouse big enough to get all the folks in there that want to take part of that. And so we're probably looking at
probably the 16th,
the middle of March,
yeah,
before we can get a venue there in the district court room. So there's
lots
of room.
That'll be on the agenda. That's
absolutely
that comes out the week, a few days.
We're going to talk about that next Monday and try to solidify that date for the comp plan. I think we're done with establishing the date for the 1 and 6. I think that's written in stone now. I think
it is.
How much time, public notice wise, ahead of time, ahead of the actual meeting, do you have to give?
10 days.
10 days.
10 days.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. 10 days.
Public anything notice for support. A public hearing that you're asking?
Well, yes and no.
Allowing people to comment on.
It depends on the type of hearing. So. In this case, for the comp plan, it's 10 days, and there will be public notice that goes out in the Telegraph, and we'll be talking about it on the radio with you.
You'll be giving a heads up to us, obviously.
Yeah, we'll talk about it ad nauseum, and just so the public understands, too, I hope they appreciate our county clerk, Becky Russell. We had some consideration of our meeting on Tuesday after President's Day in February, but Becky pointed out, you know, folks are kind of creatures of habit. They're used to the county board meeting on Mondays. Therefore, she says, I think we should stay with a Monday for the public hearing, and I concur with that. I think that's a subtle, small thing to think about. I didn't think about it, honestly, but appreciate her her input on that. So, you know, it will be on a Monday, no matter whenever we set that. And I think, as Chris says, I think it's probably going to be the 16th of March. But we'll see Monday. We'll talk about that and see what the board wants to do.
We're speaking on Mugs this morning with Commissioner Kent Weems and Chris Bruns. And you had your annual report by Ben Dutton from Lincoln Logan McPherson County's Extension Office. I just met Ben last week, had him on. And what did Ben apprise the board of yesterday?
You know, Ben, I know we were all impressed with, since Ben's come on board out here at the Extension Service in North Platte, he's the coordinator of all the programs out there, and he has a tremendous grasp of what kind of a positive impact they can have on the community, and he challenges each of his educators to do just that, and he really compels them to come up with specific plans for educating the public in various things, and he instigated an entrepreneurial business program and teaching people in the community how to set up a business from scratch. And it's, I think it's one of the best things that they've done to expand what they do at mm-hmm. the extension. What do you think, Chris?
I absolutely agree. I've had the privilege of serving as the liaison to the extension and the Ag Society for the past 5 years. We did some change up with our committees. I no longer have that responsibility this year. But, you know, bringing Ben on has just really taken that program leaps and bounds forward. Not that it was in a bad place to begin with. I mean, people that work over there are exceptional, but I'm really excited to see what he's doing as the lead educator and the vision that he has moving forward with that organization. But you talk about an organization that works with, you know, local government and the university and the public in so many different aspects, from, you know, health and wellness to community development and like the program Commissioner Weems was talking about, to you know, agriculture research, to, I mean, you name it, they are there mm-hmm. to support Lincoln County and really our region in great ways. They get involved in a lot of different economic development projects that we have, looking at our area to mm-hmm. talk about how they can be a force multiplier. They just do an amazing job. And so having Ben in and having a conversation with him yesterday, it's something that I look forward to every year. And again, just really excited to see where he's taking that program.
Sounds like it's in pretty good hands here.
Yep. Not to mention the 4-H program.
The youth outreach through the 4-H program. Yeah,
continue to excel running that.
Exactly.
So
good. Brandon Myers gave you a quarterly report, Region 51 Emergency Management. I've heard glowing things along the way since I've been working here about what he does and keeps that department humming along.
He does, and he's got mm-hmm. a great grasp of what the responsibilities are in that department and how to make it better. It's each time he gives a synopsis of where he's been and what he's doing, it's an alphabet soup with all these different
groups. He travels quite a bit, doesn't he?
He does. Mm-hmm. He does, and very proactive guy. His biggest challenge right now, as I think we've discussed mm-hmm. here in past weeks, is the funding issues. You know, he's down $250,000 to $300,000 that they're in dire straits with. They may lose it all, because if they ever get out of the lawsuits some of these states have filed against the programs to hold up the monies, he's got an August deadline to spend most of those funds, and a lot of them are various grants for reimbursing on training and equipment and things like that.
One of those grants pays half of his salary, so.
That would make him especially interested.
So we're definitely paying attention to that. The federal government, they made some changes to the programs, and we have some coastal states that don't like some of those changes, so they're trying to stymie things up, but we're working through it.
Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of leverage on that either. I mean, we can scream bloody murder, but we are. And within his organization, you know, they've got a statewide mm-hmm. Consortium of emergency managers, and they've got connections into federal level. So they're trying.
So is there a
lobbying
lot of
as they can?
Federal or is that department relying on federal dollars quite a bit then?
Yeah,
hundreds of thousands of dollars go into that program. A lot of it is transactional. We have counties and municipalities across the state that actually, because he does such a good job, he applies for the grant dollars, and the money comes into Lincoln County, and then it goes right out of Lincoln County to those other communities because he's just so successful at getting them. But we utilize a lot of those dollars for training for our first responders throughout Lincoln County, the region, from hazmat. I mean, everything that he does, everything that he touches in some way, shape, or form, I would contend has a grant dollar behind it in some way, shape, or form. May not cover the entire thing, but part of it. So.
Okay. Well, we hope that money keeps flowing. Otherwise, you guys are going to be you're going to be asked to allocate more money, and there's not extra money that can be allocated in this day and age, for sure. All right, let's get to the reason, the main reason you're here, Chris, is to talk about this resolution that the commissioners drafted about the veteran, the rating of the Veterans Aid Fund that is being proposed by the governor.
Yeah, and like I said, feels like we were just talking about this. Technically, yeah, we were just this late last week, but yeah, we did go ahead and pass a resolution yesterday. And we plan on taking this resolution, and the language of this is, it's pretty terse. It has a little bit of spice behind it.
Give us an example of terseness.
Well, I mean, we talk about full and unwavering opposition. We kind of ding the state for, you know, their expectation that we live within our budgetary means, but they're not doing so on their end.
There you go.
There's a lot of very blunt and caustic language in this, and it's still professional, but it gets our tone and tenor of, you know, how we're feeling out here in Lincoln County, I think, across in a very applicable way. And so I plan on going down along with Tom Gann, our County Veteran Service Officer. Not only will this get emailed to the governor's office, but we're going to hand deliver it to the Appropriations Committee and provide testimony when the Veterans Affairs Department actually comes up and supports and defends their budget line items before that committee. And so we'll provide that testimony.
Sometime in February, you anticipate?
I anticipate probably the first week in February is this next week. We do have the two budget bills up for general discussion with the Appropriations Committee, but we're waiting until the Veterans Affairs, each department has a specified time, day and time that they'll be in front. So we'll go down for that to specifically hone in on these dollars because, as we talked about last week, this is not the intent of the fund. The fund was set up very purposefully as a one-time allocation of dollars, and it's self-sustaining. And I don't think that the vast majority of the senators in that body understand how the fund works, A, or B, what it does, what those dollars do, how they're spent, where they go, and the true intent of why they exist. And so we'll educate them on that. And the intent that we have is we'll get that change made while it's in committee, because as the good senator, our good senator was talking about yesterday in his interview with you, this is the time to get it changed. It's very difficult to get it changed once it goes out on the floor. So. Yeah. Completely agree with him. We're in lockstep on that. And I am very comforted to know that he is in agreement with us. He's going to be working on his end to get this changed. And I've had numerous conversations. I had conversations with about 11 different state senators over this past week, friends that I know across the state, and enlightening them.
I was going to say, now they understand what this Veterans Service Fund is all about, and why it should not be dipped into as a solution to overcome the budget shortfall.
Exactly. Yeah. So large budget shortfall, you know, in the grand scheme of that, the request that they have is $5 million over the next 2 years. Again, as I said last week, my biggest concern is the back door that they've kicked open very quietly.
They left it open to do it perpetually, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we've got to get that language changed. We've got to protect the Veterans Aid Fund because of how those dollars work for all 93 counties, particularly here in Lincoln County. Our Veteran Service Officer has aggressively gone over after these funds to help provide assistance to our needy veterans here. And we're talking approaching $220,000 just this last fiscal year.
You explained that last week.
And that demand is growing. So,
Well, and also, Chris, to that point, and something I pointed out to them, you know, they say, well, you've got excess earnings in this fund, so we're going to skim it off the top. What if the veteran service officers around us in outstate Nebraska were as aggressive as ours in pursuing those needs and making our veterans aware that the funds are there?
It'd be a good thing for the veterans in the state.
We could double or triple that draw off that fund for the very people that was designed to take care of as our veterans. Mm-hmm. So I think there's an exponential growth in the utilization of that fund.
The need's absolutely there.
It's there. They just simply don't understand it. It's there for them.
So I'm hopeful that more of our veteran service officers are as aggressive as ours. He's been tremendous in tapping this resource and making dollars available to our local veterans.
So myself, Kent, Michaela, Joe, Jerry, we've all been beating the horn or beating the drum very loudly. Tom Gann's blowing the horn across the state. We're rallying Nebraskans, and I think senators are hearing. I know senators are hearing this message, and so I'm confident that it'll get changed, but we can't let up.
No. Make sure it's going to be, that money is going to stay there for the veterans where it belongs, for sure. Anything else you wanted to mention about the meeting yesterday or anything else coming up?
We're talking here, Corey, we're focused on the 1 and 6 and also the comp plan, getting those things scheduled and put in the rearview mirror. We've been working on that comp plan for a couple of years, and it's time to make that thing.
The comp plan, it will, in fact, notice went to the media yesterday for the Planning and Zoning Commission's public hearing. That is going to be coming up here in about a week. So pay attention to that public hearing. That's a time to weigh in. There's two opportunities for the public to weigh in on this thing, at that public hearing and our public hearing. Now, we've worked, as Kent was saying, we've been working on this for almost 3 years, a little over 3 years now, since we started this project with the comp plan when I was chair back in 22. And so the work that we've done, I truly believe we have a really good product in all aspects of what the comp plan covers, as well as our zoning regulations. I know there's a lot of people that are very concerned about renewable energy projects coming into the county and how do we address that. We've formulated some really exciting, unique tools that they've been used in different capacity across the state, but we're utilizing them for that specific purpose in this comprehensive plan. And so we've got a really good plan moving forward. I think that the tools that we're going to have at our disposal to really make sure that we're determining what's right for Lincoln County, what's wrong for Lincoln County, they're in there. So I encourage the public to get a draft, go through it, and pay attention, get involved, participate in the process, but know that we've got a lot of really good men and women that are working on this, and I think that at the end of the day, Lincoln County is going to be in a better spot for it.
To get a copy of that, do they just come to the courthouse and request one, or
it would be the
will it be posted online? Any
planning place? And zoning office over at City Hall. Judy Clark.
City Hall would have it.
Is our county planning zoning administrator, as well as she serves in that capacity for the city as well. But she has copies over there, and I think she's working to get it online on the county website.
Okay. So.
Yeah, that was I think that was her goal in life yesterday, was to get it online. But if you go in the west end of the municipal building, City Hall, Judy's office is right off that west branch there, or west wing, and there's a reception desk there. So you should be able to get a hold of somebody to get a hard copy.
Encourage people to to look that over and be involved in your city and county governments. It's only as good as people partake of and get involved and
amen to that.
Give their feedback on, because I mean that's what you people go on basically a lot.
And exactly,
what you hear is going to get prioritized a lot of times, for sure. We thank you both for coming in, Commissioner Weems and Bruns, this morning on Mugs in the Morning, and you gentlemen have a fine rest of the week. Okay?
You too.
You as too. Well.
Take
All
care.
Right, take care.